The remains of Foley and McCall. With Sean Foley and Hamish McCall. This week's episode, Cutting Edge.
Hamish, hold the lift. Morning.
Oh, morning, Sean. I'm really looking forward to the programme today.
So am I. Although I do have a but, and it's a big but. Last week's programme, when I had that mystery illness and I said, do you think I'll get better? And you said, I'm sure you will. Have some more of this hemlock cake. What was all that about?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, the week before, when it was raining and you said, take shelter in that lovely cave. And I went in and got run over by a train.
Well, what about it? Well,
the week before that, the William Tell week with the crossbow. And you said, trust me, Sean, I know the story. Put the apple in your mouth.
Yes?
Well, I think a pattern is emerging. And I just wanted to ask, am I in danger of being attacked by the same pattern again this week?
No, I've never lied to you, Sean. No, you're not.
You're lying, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Sixth floor, production offices of the remains of Foley and McCall. Excuse the flat delivery of this line. Believe it or not, this is my excited voice.
Hello, boys. Am I in this scene?
What do you think, Dickie?
Oh, how exciting. A multiple choice question. Quick as a snake, Dickie chooses. Yes, I am in this scene. And waits, poised for action, on the balls of his feet. Your line.
Dickie, is Yvette in?
My line? Yes, our esteemed producer is in her office. And before you go, boys, as acting pool for the entire programme, may I ask you, do you think I can pass for a boy of 16?
No, why?
Well, they've told me I don't appeal to the younger audience. Gobblers! I read the Biggles books. If you need me, I shall be in the green room, playing Pokemon or squeezing my zits.
Come in. Morning, Hamish. Morning, Sean. How did your first scene in the lift go?
Oh, very well, thanks. We established myself as Renaissance man and Sean as semi-upright. I like the pigtails.
Thank you. The executives upstairs say we need to appeal to a younger audience, so I'm exploring my inner child. I've spent the whole morning making a secret cave under my desk. Let's have the meeting in there.
Oh, that's very nice of it.
Would you like anything from my little shop?
I'll try a piece of the plastic bacon. Mmm, it's delicious, Yvette.
Thank you. That'll be 2p, please. Back to business. We've got a problem, boys. The only people who listen to this programme are lonely old folk with pets. Listen to the calls.
I was listening to your programme when my dog broke in half. Despite 3 rolls of sellotape, he still bends badly in the middle. What are you going to do about it?
I recently ended up at the hospital after asking my Jack Russell to drive me to the church. I would like to ask the panel, how on earth did he get the 2 places so hopelessly muddled?
We must appeal to the youth audience and establish this programme at the cutting edge of radio.
I see. So my piece on hemming curtains is out?
Absolutely. The hippest thing for young people at the moment is offshore rave parties on ships out in the North Sea. I've spoken to a new company which is trying to get involved, and they are keen on sponsoring this programme to get their message across.
But sponsorship will mean compromising our artistic vision.
Not at all. Boris's disco ship.
Where the beat goes on and the vibe is strong. All major credit cards accepted.
It's going to be very hands-off. Get over to Great Yarmouth so Boris can show you round his disco ship.
Look, we refuse to do this, Yvette.
It will mean huge pay rises for you both.
Well, in that case...
I'm Hamish McCall, and if, like me, you're young and cool and hip, then the place to be is the middle of the sea on Boris's disco ship.
Hey! I couldn't agree more, and I'm Sean Foley, also I am hip. So come and roly-poly like the cod and the coley on Boris's disco ship.
Yo, get on, don't be a landlubber, come!
Come on the boat and flubber your blubber. We make a party, we make a racket, wearing jean and bad leather jackets. Call 0898-442-2998, 4243-444-6979-221-246-224-3.
Hey, gentlemen, hello.
Oh, hi there.
I'm Boris, or Boris's disco ship, where I give good time in exchange for hard Western currencies.
Right.
Huh? You must be from Hot Happening Program from BBC Radio 4.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
Your producer says that Sean Full and Hamish McCall are the hippest style kings of the new generation.
That's true. Yeah.
So where are they? They don't show, they're no dough.
They're busy mixing some medium rare grooves for a beatbox thingy.
So you are?
Their parents.
What?
their fathers, I mean.
Excuse me, boys. Am I in this scene?
Dickie, what's all that sellotape doing round your head?
It's my homemade facelift. I at last am a 16-year-old. A massive party, Boris. I am launching it on those little pills called, in inverted commas, drugs. Everything has a rosy glow, and I've fallen in love with the foghorn. Coming, darling!
Who was that?
Little Sean's grandfather, my dad.
Yeah, cool guy, huh? Must be hard for you with cool dad, cool son, and you, and a fat piggy in the middle.
Really dig the way you've done up the boat as a battleship for the party, Boris, my main man.
I haven't, no. The ship is decommissioned frigate from the Russian Navy. I bought her for a jar of pickled herrings in Moscow.
Cool, Hamish, check out the groovy gun turrets.
Yeah, wicked depth charges on deck.
Father's trying to be cool. Pathetic.
Can I be in this scene again?
No, you can't.
I must insist, says Dickie in his panicking voice. Small problem. The truth, Dickie, the truth. A bloody huge problem. My beautiful foghorn stopped speaking to me. I tried to win her back by performing an hilarious adolescent prank. I put something on the barbecue.
That doesn't sound that serious to me, Dickie.
It was... Tell them, Dickie, tell them. A depth charge to the lifeboats.
Diary. Sean and I have now been cast away on this raft for 33 straight days and two wonky ones.
Do you have to whisper everything you write?
I haven't got a pen.
Dear Diary, I've just discovered that Sean can hear everything I'm writing. So I'm going to put my hand over my mouth and say he's all right, boys.
I wonder where Dickie is.
Oh, drowned, I hope. Look on the bright side, Sean. Yvette will be delighted with this whole catastrophe. We couldn't be more cutting-edge if we tried.
What does Yvette actually mean by cutting-edge?
Well, cutting-edge is about breaking taboos, about living dangerously. It's about being offensive.
How do you mean?
Well, if you want to be really cutting-edge, you find something people like and you kill it.
What?
Well, say we do something about a dog.
What sort of dog?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't matter, but he's a lovely dog. He's trotting along, happy as Larry, and this man in a car sees him and he thinks, let's have a bit of fun. And boom, he runs him over.
That's terrible.
Yeah, that's right. That's your basic cutting edge, that is, but we could be more. I mean, try this. This same bloke, he's just run over the lovely dog, and he's so busy laughing that he drives straight into a bus queue and takes off one guy's leg just below the knee. What do you think of that?
Whose dog was it?
What?
The lovely dog. Whose dog was it?
But
come
forget
on.
Forget the dog. This gets worse. The man with the half leg from the bus stop, he's so incensed at losing a foot that he hops into a local supermarket, buys an axe, and half an hour later there are 33 choppers dead. What do you say to that?
I think we should find out whose dog it was, Hamish, really, honestly.
Change the scenario. We'll do something about Venezuela.
Right.
There's a massive hurricane. Mudslides, corrugated roofs, flying every which way. 13,000 dead.
Was it a terrier? I couldn't bear it if it was a terrier.
Try this. First World War. Battle of the Somme. 350,000 of Britain's finest...
The dog! Tell me the dog wasn't there!
How could the bloody dog be in the Battle of the Somme?
I'm sorry. I just can't get him out of my mind. I can just see his little face as he looks up into the headlamps of his laughing killer. And he's thinking, why me? I'm just a lovely little dog. Oh, 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 oh!
I've just killed 300,000 people, and you're worrying about a dog? I've never heard anything so offensive in my life.
I thought that was what we were after.
Hersey Rescue! We're saved!
Which one of you ran over my lovely dog?
Enough about the dog. It wasn't a real dog. It was a hypothetical dog.
That's what you think.
They're winching down a six-piece band.
My dog's dead. My dog's dead. I met a man who was ready to die because his wife had just left him for another guy. His children wouldn't talk to him and he was going mad. Back off, brother, you're too sad.
There ain't nothing you can say. There ain't nothing you can do.
No, there ain't nothing you can say. There ain't nothing you can do to touch the pain, 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 pain that I'm personally going through. My dog's dead. My dog's dead. My dog was a top dog and a hot dog and a friend. But how could my pooch meet such a sticky end? The car came out of nowhere, and my epilogue is that I found the crimson pancake where there once had been a dog.
There ain't nothing you can say.
Oh, nothing you can say.
There ain't nothing you can do.
You. There ain't nothing you can say. There ain't nothing you can do. Cause my dog's in two dimensions on the A422.
Please, take us with you.
Not after what you did to my dog.
How offensive. Leaving us to die here on this raft because of a hypothetical dog.
Hamish, if we're going to break taboos, let's go for it. I'm starving. Who's for lunch? You or me?
I can't believe you're giving me a choice. I think I'll go for you.
Fair enough. But you're not having any more of my legs. I still dream of a career in the ballet. You can eat my brain.
Sean, I need nourishment.
Well, my brain or nothing.
All right.
All right, keep your head still.
Hold it, Hamish.
If you're using that, you should wear protective goggles.
All right, let's open your head up.
Stop it, will you? It tickles.
I'm in!
Here we go.
There's nothing in here.
It's on the left, next to the dodgy memories of the family au pair. It's in a tarpaulin. Yeah, that's it. I haven't used it for a bit.
Blimey, it's not exactly big, is it? Definitely more starter than main course. Oh, well, pass me a fork.
Hey, excuse me, boys. May I stop you on the cusp of the ultimate taboo and say, am I in this scene?
Just a moment, Dickie. No, you're not.
Magnificent idea, boys. I am the absence. Oh, plenty for an actor to work on. How shall I represent this nothing?
By going away.
I remember Bath Theatre Royal, 1954. Ralph Richardson said the same thing to me. I said, but Ralph, and in a flash, he punched me in the face. But so tenderly. How far to the nearest land?
Just over 3,000 miles.
Jolly good. Check air pressure in water wings. I am the very marked bits of the doggy paddle, says Dickie, sinking like a stone.
Goodbye, Dickie.
Look, Hamish, over there.
What is it?
It's a message in a bottle.
I've got it. What does it say?
Can't quite get the paper out.
Give me the bottle. Now give me your head.
Ow!
It's from Yvette. She writes...
Dear Sean and Hamish, while you have been away...
I've got to stop you there, Hamish. That is a tremendous impression of Yvette.
Oh, thank you. You have to sort of totally relax the thoth palate like this and go...
While you have been away...
It's absolutely spot on. I could be standing next to her.
I have taken advantage of your tragic situation and hired a hot young talent to front the programme.
Sean, she's making a terrible mistake. That woman is her own worst enemy.
Not while I'm alive, she isn't.
P.S. I heard that, Sean.
Hamish, listen. We have to get back to the office as quickly as we can.
Yes. Paddle, Sean. Paddle.
Ah, Plymouth.
Oh, I'll give you this, Sean. You have tremendous upper body strength. Taxi!
Hello, gents! I've just been listening to you two on the radio. I'm a great fan of the programme. Hop in, BBC, is it?
That's right. And burn rubber.
A bit of a writer myself, actually. Diatribes, mainly. Here's one entitled, I Don't Know What This Country Is Coming To. It starts, I don't know what this country is coming to.
And so it was that Sean and Hamish came to suffer the ultimate modern horror. A four-hour cab drive, listening to the philosophy of a fool. Who may tell what long-term scars it left, but let it be recorded here that they did their best to avoid it. Hamish stuck his fingers so far in his ears they met in the middle. At a petrol stop outside Exeter, Sean climbed into the boot and refused to come out. After what seemed like weeks, the half-crazed Hamish piped up from the floor where he lay.
Just here on the left, please.
All right, though, Hamish. Now, so in a nutshell, I don't know what this country's coming to.
Second floor, production offices of the hip new youth programme, The Remains of Foley and McCall.
Hello?
Yvette, we're back.
Hamish, Sean, how deeply disappointing to see you. Thanks to your absence, we've re-established this programme as cutting edge.
But we're cutting edge too. Look what Sean can do with his head.
Hamish and Sean, we're a programme for young people now. I'd like you to meet the new talent on the show, Whimsy Boy.
Hello, boys. Where would we be without gravity? I know where I'd be. On the moon.
Oh, my God.
Hello, Whimsy Boy.
Hey, when it rains, right, how do you know it's not just a platoon of military pigeons marching up and down on your roof in clogs? I don't know.
Oh. Whimsy Boy, you're just hilarious. Oh. Come on, Hamish, laugh.
Take over, Sean.
Oh, God. Is that enough, Yvette? I'm getting facial cramp.
Earwig falls off a table. What does he say? Thank God I've got a little parachute.
Hamish, keep that boy away from me.
Oh, funny old world. What price parrots in pyjamas?
I want to hit him. Please let me hit him, please.
No, I must go, boys. I've got an interview for Hello Magazine. This is the new face of crazy. Hey, I just thought, what would it be like without doors? Let me in, let me out. Chaos. Thanks, door. You're going to door heaven.
Isn't he brilliant and full of ideas?
What about?
Well, he suggested doing a whole episode about hemming curtains.
Well, we thought of that.
But he's got such a fresh take on it. We're going down to Dorset to hem curtains with the Women's Institute.
What the hell is cutting edge about that?
Well, Whimsy Boy won't tell me. He says it might hurt the little beavers that live in my ears.
This is unbelievable. I'm cast away at sea, turned cannibal, and my head can do this. But am I cutting edge? No, it's Whimsy Boy with his ear-inhabiting beavers. It's so offensive.
Well, I told you, that's what cutting edge is all about.
Yeah, that's right. It's like that lovely dog stuff.
Look, will you pack it in about that bloody dog?
I'm telling you, we've not heard the last about that dog.
Hello, boys!
What are you doing here now, Dickie?
Oh, don't mind me. I'm just waiting in the wings. Mustn't put a foot wrong from now on. I'm in the absolutely last chance saloon with Yvette. Sean's next line is my cue.
Get lost, Dickie.
That's my cue. I step from the shadows, hit my mark, and with a quizzical look I say...
Excuse me, Dickie. Hello?
My wife and I are incensed at the killing of the lovely dog.
And with a quizzical look I say... Oh, damn.
I'm sorry, Dickie. Hello?
I'm writing to my MP. How dare you run over a lovely little dog?
With a quizzical look, I say... Oh, stop it!
1 minute, Dickie. Hello?
This is a Venezuelan hurricane relief appeal. We're ringing up to ask after the lovely dog.
Right, over to you, Dickie.
And with a quizzical look, I say... Here comes three phone calls about the lovely dog. Damn, I've missed my cue. There was timing, Dickie, timing.
Hamish, I can't believe we're going down to Dorset to hem curtains with the Women's Institute.
Yes. Exciting, isn't it?
Hey, I've just been looking out the window. It's green, the countryside, isn't it? Is it green with envy at not being in the city? Would the fields really like to be car parks?
Eh? Whimsy, carry on like that and I swear I'll punch you. Just once, but I will punch you.
Oh, look! Wonder what all those black and white cows look like in colour.
I promise you, Whimsy. and I'm a man of my word.
Oh, crazy old world, put my guitar in the wash by mistake. Now, I play the ukulele.
Although I did lie when I said just once.
Tickets, please.
Oh, blimey, imagine if we were all mice and this ticket collector was a tomcat. Come on, my little mice friends, run for your lives. Squeak, squeak.
Nice left hook, Hamish.
Excuse me, boys. Am I in this scene?
For the last time, Dickie, no, you're not.
Indeed. I am no longer in the programme at all. I was just wondering whether you'd sign my You've Just Been Sacked card. Just put Dickie Bow with fond memories of a distinguished... make it as long as you like.
I'd love to, Dickie, but I'm saving the ink in my biro.
Oh, quite understand. Quite. Dickie moves from his mark into the shadows and is gone. He reappears for a moment. A trick of the light. Is it him? Is it Dickie? No, he is gone.
No room for Dickie, no room at all. The words once employed by the great Peter Hall. It's a phrase that I've heard all my life. On my honeymoon night, it was used by my wife. Now I've been told to go farewell, Dame Radio. Back to the basement bed, sit her in Pimlico. Sit on my bed all alone and wait for my agent to sodding well phone. So it's no room for Dickie, no room at all. Someone younger, they want someone small, and they want me to pass on a phrase you might know. There's no way we've got room for Mr. Dickie, what's his name? Sod you, sod the lot of you.
I miss Dickie. He put us in a good light.
Oh, never mind, lads. You're me now. Yeah, ever thought about woodpeckers? Have they been locked out or what? Let me in. I left my tiny house keys down the woodpecker pub, honestly.
That's it. Come here, you.
No! Oh, put me down!
Sean,
oh.
For God's sake, ooh. Don't turn Whimsy Boy upside down. Ooh. His jokes might fall out.
Things have gone too far, Hamish. It's time for emphatic chords.
You join us in Dorset for the latest on the abduction story. Top funny youth Whimsy Boy is being held hostage in Woodenley Bassett Railway Station by a man who police describe as an idiot.
Sean, listen to me. It's no use. The building is completely surrounded by escape routes. Ignore these and come out with your hands up.
I'm not coming out until I've thought up some demands.
There is not enough time in the program left for that.
Very well. My first demand is that you stop talking through a megaphone.
Very well.
Damn, too easy. My second demand is that you help me think up some more of these difficult demand things.
Well, how about asking for a good camera, a set of matching wine glasses, a personal stereo, a dishwasher, fluffy toy, a ping pong table, teas made garden tools, a weekend break in the Cotswolds, and the chance to win this top-of-the-range saloon!
All right, my demands are the personal stereo, the ping pong table, the matching wine glasses. Yeah, the holiday, thank you, the holiday, yes. The fluffy dog, yes, thank you.
No, I'm sorry, we've had that, garden tool, we've had that.
Yeah, fluffy toy and the dishwasher.
Well, didn't he do well? We instantly agree to all your paltry demands. Yvette.
I'm sorry I'm late, Hamish. I came as soon as I'd learnt how to ride. Give me that megaphone.
Sean, we will not negotiate until we know Whimsy Boy is alive and well.
Very well. Speak to them, Whimsy.
Oh, those penguins playing golf in my pocket.
That's enough!
I now want to replace my paltry demands with four impossible ones.
Very well.
One, the immediate reinstatement of the entire acting pool, Mr. Dickie Bow.
Am I in this scene?
Welcome back, Dickie. Two, Dickie will be given a punchline at the end of this scene.
He'll only fluff it, but very well. Dickie, your cue will be when I say, where is he?
Three, Whimsy Boy to be immediately re-kidnapped by a man less open to negotiation than myself.
Very well.
Four, Hamish to die at the end of this programme, not me.
Never.
Sniper! All your demands have been met. Come out, Sean. Send in the kidnapper less open to negotiation than Sean. Where is he?
This is it! My punchline! The cherry on the cake! Here we go! It's all in the timing, you see. Right, into character, prop chick, Yvette, be a darling and give me my feed line again.
Where is the kidnapper less open to negotiation than Sean?
He's back in the office, Yvette! We're having trouble negotiating his with... Does that say wages?
Fluffed it, Dick.
Oh, damn! Let me do it again! This time it'll be hilarious! Please, please!
Doctor, I'm here to see Hamish McColl.
Are you Sean Foley? He's been asking for you to be taken out of this scene. Here he is. He should just about last the night.
We don't have time for that, Doc. Turn the machine down. Can you hear me, Hamish? Give me that.
Can you hear me now?
Is that you, Sean? I'm dying, aren't I?
Speak up.
I can't. I'm using my whispery voice for effect. And also these tried and tested pauses. We've had some good times, haven't we?
Have we?
Say yes, and then tell me how wonderful I am.
Down, Doctor. Turn the machine down.
A little music, please, to show us how people are feeling. Oh, don't cry, Sean.
I'm not crying. I'm laughing.
You'll turn it into a cry, then.
Oh, God, no.
Say something touching through the tears.
It's just that seeing you lying there, dying, Hamish.
Yeah.
The last breath going out of you like that.
Yes.
I can't help thinking.
What, Sean?
About that lovely little dog. Who'd flatten a dog like that for no reason?
What? Come here, you!
Where's the bloody plug on this thing?
In the remains of Foley and McColl, Sean was Foley and Hamish McColl. It was written in a cellar in downtown Sebastopol by Sean Foley and Hamish McColl. Rose English played Yvette and Count Arthur Strong was Dickie Bow. Chris Lana wafted the fragrant hand that wrote the songs for the radio. Members of the cast played the other parts and Mr. Mark Stevens caressed our hearts with a synthesizer and helped to sing. And Lisa Evans produced the thing.